Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 20 and 21. Joshua, chapter 24, verses 20 and 21. I'm going to encourage you tonight to open your Bible to the book of Joshua, because when we come to the end of our service this evening, we're going to be looking at chapters 23 and 24. So keep that in mind. Have your Bible open and be ready to follow as we are reading together. Joshua chapter 24, 20, 21. All of you are aware of the fact that when we come together, the purpose of our being here is to focus our attention upon the eternal Word of God. There's not anything more wonderful for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ than for us to receive consistently and faithfully the dissemination of the Word of God. We're going to have opportunity to talk about that in detail in a few moments in relationship to the beginning of this church 40 years ago tonight. May we pray together first. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours tonight to be here to focus our attention upon the eternal Word of God. We're thankful that you've blessed us all so richly with the recipients of your grace, and we thank you for it. We ask that you'll bless us in these moments of study this evening, that we'll understand the importance of receiving the mind of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing that the only way that this is possible is for us to be perceptive believers in fellowship and desiring to hear the communication of your word. And so we're thankful for the blessings that you've given us over these wonderful years. We thank you that you've been with us, and we realize that we've seen your grace and mercy in many, many manifestations. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace Bible Church was born December the 17th, 1975. It was Thursday morning, December 17, 1975, that the first service of Grace Bible Church was conducted. James Bowie School became the home where God's people studied diligently. 1979, this building here at 624 Massey Tompkins was purchased, and there we've witnessed God's grace blessings for the past 40 years. As we begin our 41st year together, we express our sincere gratitude to our Heavenly Father for His wonderful blessings. Tonight, I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to just listen attentively and carefully rather than read my information. Grace Bible Church begin 41st year tomorrow. On this Wednesday night, December the 16th, 2015, we're reminded that it was on that night, 40 years ago, that this church was going through the labor pains of coming into existence. The next morning, Thursday, December the 17th, a brand new day was the continuation of Bible study, but this time the Thursday morning ladies' Bible class was conducted in the new pastor's home, but it was actually the same home in which the pastor and his family had lived for the past 9 years while pastoring a Baptist church in the city of Baytown. When we came to Baytown in 1966, our oldest daughter, who is now 56, was 7, and our youngest daughter, who is now 53, was 4 years of age. Adding 9 years to their ages made Carla 16 and Sheila 13, which was not an ideal time for disruption in their lives. Though not easy for them, both bruised, still have a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop in the midst of my reading this tonight to tell you that I typed this all out and emailed it to both Carla and Sheila. Some of you are not aware of the fact that our daughters are that old. You're aware of the fact now, hearing that lets us all know that the pastor and his wife have been around for a long time. When we came to Baytown in 1966, our oldest daughter, who is now 56, was 7, and our youngest daughter, who is now 53, was 4. Again, adding 9 years to their ages made Carla 16 and Sheila 13, which was not an ideal time for disruption in their lives. Though not easy, both bruised, still have a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was wonderful for me this day to receive information from both of these girls after having read the information that I'm sharing with you this evening. Sheila, our youngest daughter, said, "Yes, so grateful that you took the leap and built a family of like-minded people to commune with weekly." I thought that was an interesting statement. Yes, so grateful that you took the leap and built a family of like-minded people to commune with weekly. Our oldest daughter wrote this: "It has certainly been an amazing journey, and one that I truly wouldn't change, even though it was painful. It proved to be a catalyst for so many lessons and discoveries in my life. And when there's a contraction, it creates the drive for expansion. And for me, this dream of expanding my reach to a global level certainly came from the paring down phase of my life." Beautifully written, Dad. This will be a night of reflection and gratitude. I thought you would enjoy hearing what our two daughters had to say in the light of this particular experience. The question is, why did all this come about? Some of you may ask that. In our audience here tonight, I see that there are many who were not here 40 years ago. Some of you were not even born 40 years ago. Basically, the answer to this question, it was because the pastor concluded, after more than 25 years in the ministry at that time, and after vocal cord surgery, that the consistent teaching of God's Word should be the primary emphasis of this church. Over almost a decade, the Baptist Church had grown with many areas of outreach, including choirs, larger staff, a huge bus ministry, and great attendance. Some of you remember we were running about 13 buses at that time. It was at this time that a deep conviction caused the focus to turn away from the programs and activities to an intense study of the Bible, including 6 or 7 Bible studies per week under the pastor's leadership. As I look back on that now, I see that I was quite an unusual person to choose to teach 6 or 7 Bible studies per week with a different book of the Bible at each session. For the next 5 years, many people accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The attendance grew, but at the same time, some concluded that the pastor was being influenced by the so-called false teachings of a prominent Hebrew and Greek Bible scholar. From 1970 to 1975, the church experienced good and bad. The good was the wonderful response of folk who desired the faithful teaching of the Bible, and the bad of those who desired less de-emphasizing of church activities and programs. The 2 years before the church staff was dismissed were filled with chaos. Secret meetings were conducted. People who had not been in attendance for many years were called and enlisted to come to express their vote. Many, many things could be added to this. I do not plan to spend a lot of time. I also wanted you to know that if you have any questions, I'd be glad to talk with you about it, because this was a changing point in our lives. As we look back, we're indeed thankful that God in His grace and mercy allowed us to be a part of a Bible-loving and Christ-honoring congregation for these past 40 years. With that statement in mind, I'm going to ask you now to please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. We're going to be reading verses 20 and 21. If you'll notice, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 20 says, "If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he's done good to you." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." If you look carefully now at verse 24, you will find also a very interesting statement. "And the people said to Joshua, 'We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice.'" We have discovered over the last number of sessions that we are seeing Jesus in every book of the Bible. And we've certainly, last Sunday in two sessions, and tonight, the last session we'll present in the book of Joshua, we find that Jesus is found in every book of the Old Testament. I wanted to share with you a few very interesting statements that I've read in recent days that I think will be helpful to you. I found this on the statement, Joshua. Take a glimpse at the last chapter in the book preceding the book of Joshua, which is the book of Deuteronomy. That final scene shows Moses standing on Mount Pisgah, gazing down at the land long promised, the land he will never enter. We can imagine him weary and worn from years of leadership. Moses died there in Moab, and the Israelites wept over his death for 30 days. What an honorable tribute it was to hear of his relationship with God. We're talking about Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10, we read, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Gladly, the story does not end there. God's relationship with his people did not end with Moses and with the death of Moses. When you go to the first chapter of the book we're studying now, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1, it picks up the drama of the people of God and their move to the promised land. Joshua, the book of Joshua, is a book about possession of the land of plenty and the possession of the land of blessing. The people of Israel were moving to possess the land promised in the book of Exodus. This would fulfill the promise made to Abraham by our Heavenly Father, who never goes back on a promise. If you go back to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, there you will find that promise that was made to Abraham. Now, I'm reading this, and I have a desire to preach at various points, but I'm going to try not to do that because I want to continue my reading. However, the people of God soon found out that the land could be possessed only when they walked in obedience to God's direction and when they depended on God's strength and not their own. It was a lesson that they would see again and again. This book becomes a clear picture of our walk with God today. Just as Israel moved from the bondage of Egypt, the believers move from slavery to sin through faith in Jesus Christ. God fully, faithfully provided for the Israelites and worked on their behalf, just as he does for us in our lives. This particular statement, then, is very important. Let us walk through this book as we've been walking to find encouragement for a life of faith. I found some very interesting studies. One of those is in relationship to what's the story of Joshua and Caleb. And I've paused for a moment to ask you a question and let you think about it. What do you know about the story of Joshua and Caleb in the Word of God? As I analyzed this, I wrote myself a little note. Stand for God when others don't. And that's the point that I want to emphasize while I'm reading this article. Stand for God when others don't. What is the story of Joshua and Caleb in the wonderful Word of God? Joshua and Caleb are two Israelite men whose stories offer an example of faithful commitment to the Lord. Both men came out of Egypt with the Israelites through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb were selected along with 10 other men to explore the promised land and give a report to Moses and to the people. After 40 days exploration of Canaan, the explorers reported, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak." This is a reference made to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. This report that came to the people at that time frightened those individuals. Caleb had a different attitude from the other spies. The verses follow state, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' When the people complained that they could not go up to conquer the land, both Caleb and Joshua responded strongly. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" Listen carefully. God judged the people of Israel by making them wait 40 years to enter the land. I thought it was interesting. He also promised that every person 20 years of age and under would die in the wilderness, or 20 years of age and older would die in the wilderness and would not see the land, with two exceptions, Caleb and Joshua. Why? "Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua." This promise came true. After the death of Moses, 40 years later, Joshua led the people across the Jordan River into the promised land. Caleb received an inheritance in the promised land in his old age. Now notice, if you remember what I said at the beginning of this reading, as I read this, I wrote myself a little note: stand for God when others don't. And the last statement, the faithfulness of Joshua and Caleb teaches us that we're to stand for God even when others will not. When we do, God may choose to bless us in ways that will extend for generations to come. I felt it important to read that information because of the content so wonderful. Now, if you will, please, let's open again to the book of Joshua, and let's look down to chapter 24 and read again verse 20, 21, and then glance down to verse 24. Verse 20 says, "If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you." Look, please, carefully at verse 21 of Joshua chapter 24. "And the people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.'" And then glancing down at verse 24, "And the people said to Joshua, 'We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice.'" Tonight I am very, very impressed with the fact that over the last 40 years, God has been so good to me and to my family to make it possible for us to have the opportunity to communicate God's word to a group of people who desire to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. When I analyze a man by the name of Joshua, and I read through this magnificent book, and I find myself in chapter 24, the last chapter of the book, I realize that Joshua has some final messages for the people. I did not say he had a final message. I said he had some final messages. And so tonight, we're going to look at this very briefly. We've already read Joshua 24, 20 and 21. I want to remind you that, point one, this chapter presents the final words of a man of God by the name of Joshua. He first called the leaders and then all the people to focus on the power and faithfulness of God. It's amazing to me to be able to see that the preacher's responsibility is to do that very thing. We discover that Joshua called the leaders together, all the people together, and asked them to focus on the power and the faithfulness of God. And that we find in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him. What I discovered here is that he was saying, in essence, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side, for instance, of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. And then he added, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's found in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I want to pause for a few moments and let you know that what I've chosen to do tonight is to reminisce with you, reflect on 40 years of God's blessings. Now, I don't know whether any of you were aware of the fact that all these things were coming to pass in the last couple of years, in 1974 and 1975. One of the things that we did at that time, and now as looking back over it, I realized that we at that time had a philosophy of not to share information that was negative with our children. And so, good or bad, looking back on that, when the night came that we were dismissed from the church 40 years ago on this very night, it came as a shock to the two girls that I reminded you of a few moments ago. And so in the light of that fact, maybe it was not the best thing for us to keep all of any differences that may take place or any problems that may occur from our children at that time. You do what you want to in relationship to sharing very difficult circumstances with your children. I think you can go to extremes, and so I want to stop right there. But the scripture says in Joshua chapter 24, 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him. And Joshua warned against apostasy by saying, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. And then Joshua came to make this statement in Joshua 24, 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I pause for a moment to tell you young adults and those of you who have children, little children, the greatest gift that you could ever give your children is a wonderful Christian home. So I'd encourage you to be faithful to, first of all, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and faithful on a daily basis of letting your children know that God's Word is extremely important. We found ourselves doing this with our children when they were young. And we feel like that even though many things have happened over the last 40 years, there is a reference in their souls that takes them all the way back to those years when they were very young, receiving daily the impartation and dissemination of truth. Number two, Joshua died at the age of 110. And as our wonderful book of Joshua closes, we see three graves. We see Joshua's, the great leader of Israel. We see Eleazar, the priest, and we see Joseph, whose bones the children of Israel had carried with them from Egypt, and then which were buried in the land of promise. That brings me to number three. When I go to Joshua, the 24th chapter, and verse 31, I would like for you to open your Bible and look at it, please. It says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel." Look at that verse again. I have it on the screen for you. Joshua 24:31. It gives a great tribute to this man Joshua. "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel." Now tonight I'm going to ask you, please, to go to the 23rd chapter of Joshua. I've never done this before, but I feel like it's important for me tonight to share with you God's Word as you follow along reading the Scripture as I read out loud. "Now it came about after many days," chapter 23, verse 1, "when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, 'I'm old, advanced in years.'" I thought about this when I read it. I thought there may be a day, 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, I could read this and say I'm old. But I'm telling you that that's not what I'm saying tonight. But look at it, please. Follow, because this is very powerful. He said, "I'm old, advanced in years, and you've seen all the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you." Follow me, please, and see that what the Lord promised Joshua, the Lord has promised us here tonight. You can rest assured that you are on the right side of history when you're on the Lord's side. So I read on. "The Lord your God, he shall thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you." Verse 6, "Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left." I'm always amazed when I think in terms of what the Lord is saying here through Joshua to these people. He's saying, whatever you do, go straight on. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Go straight on. Then he says, "In order that you may not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God." If I were you, I would underline that. I would highlight it. I would come back to it and read it over and over again. "But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you've done to this day." Verse 9 of Joshua 23. "For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you just as he has promised." Now there are desires over and over again in my heart to stop and preach as I come to each one of these verses. But I cannot do that because I would never get through Joshua chapter 23 and 24. But I want you to see what is being said right here. One of your men puts to flight 1,000. "For the Lord your God is he who fights for you just as he has promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, Know that with certainty, the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I realize that while I'm reading, you can go to sleep. And I don't want you to do that because this is so very, very powerful. Verse 14. Now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. And one of them has failed. What I want you to see here that Joshua is saying, today I'm going the way of all the earth. Which simply means he's saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm an old man now. I want you to know I'm going to die. Now behold, I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. What this is saying is you can depend upon the word of God. No one of God's words have failed. Look, if you will, please, at verse 16. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. The emphasis here, of course, as you all know, is that destruction comes to the individuals who choose to go away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say tonight to the young people as well as the middle-aged and older people here in this auditorium this evening, don't go away from the Lord. Cling to him and to his word. Now let's move rapidly into chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and these judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, led him through all the land of Canaan, multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. I pause on the word Isaac. I'm sure that most of you are aware of the fact that the name Isaac means laughter. Most of you know the story of the strange thing that took place in the lives of two older people when they became aware that they were going to have a little baby. And the lady laughed, you remember? And so they called him Isaac, which means laughter. I could tell more about that, but let me move along because I'd never get through with this wonderful chapter 24 of Joshua. And to Isaac, I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron. I plagued Egypt by what I did in the midst, and afterward I brought you out and brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Can you see what we're doing? We're traveling. We're traveling through the various aspects related to the things that have taken place in the past. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, verse 8, who lived beyond Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then I'm sure you will remember, verse 9. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. He sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. Perhaps I'm saying now in reading some verses that's bringing back memory of various things that you understand about Balaam. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you and I delivered you from his hand. Verse 11. You crossed the Jordan, came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, and the Jebusites. If you think you're having trouble reading, thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet. And I went back when I read this again, and I went back and read a little bit about the hornets. I had forgotten about that. So, and I sent the hornet before you, and you drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. Now, I don't know whether you're picking this up or not. Are you seeing the fact that God is saying it's not by the expressed desires of mankind? It is not the intuition of individuals. It is God who's doing this. I want you to see this over and over. I'm seeing it. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword, not by your bow, not by your hand. And I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You're eating of the vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant. Now therefore, respect, fear the Lord, serve him in truth and sincerity. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 16 of chapter 24 of Joshua, the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us up and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great things in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he's done good to you. And the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Verse 22. Joshua said to the people, your witness is against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. Now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 24, the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice. May I remind you tonight that I've read this for a specific purpose of letting you see that when we let God do it, he always does a good job. So Joshua, verse 25, made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. He took a large stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, lest you deny your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his own inheritance. And it came about after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. being 110 years old. You're very much alive tonight. As far as I can tell, I'm very much alive tonight. We're all very much alive tonight. 100 years from now, we'll be gone from this earth. For some, it'll be a lot less than 100 years. All I'm wanting you to see, as you lift your eyes and look down on the pages of the book of Joshua, you will see that he's saying over and over again, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he says, but as far as I'm concerned, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's exactly what I believe God wants for each one of us. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we're thankful that you've blessed us so richly for so many, many wonderful years. And especially are we grateful for the 40 years that you've blessed us in this particular location with these wonderful people. We're thankful that you have provided for us everything we need for victory and triumph in this life. You want for us to be happy, radiant, victorious believers. You want us to be joyful. You want us to be happy individuals. You want us to love you supremely and be obedient to the teachings of the Word of God. This is a wonderful, wonderful, magnificent plan that you have for each one. And that plan is designed because of your grace for every individual. But not every individual will accept that gift. We thank you for the people in this auditorium tonight, for the people of our Grace family who have accepted this magnificent plan. They've been born into your kingdom. They're saved by your grace. And they have a desire to grow in this grace on a daily basis. There may be those who hear this voice at this particular point of time who've never yet accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, how wonderful it would be if they would be able to see and then accept that gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That would be a wonderful experience for them. We pray that there will be those who will do that. We know that the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Which tells us very simply that there's only one way of salvation, and that's the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accepting the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session, and all that he's provided for us. We thank you for Jesus tonight. And we pray that there will be those who will do what that scripture says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so. Doesn't say maybe so. It doesn't say you won't know until you're dead. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who trust you now. And we thank you over and again for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, I sing because 'cause you help me. My soul.